Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Oh, wow. The show twice, the bat. Hi. Today we have a very special guest, a personal favorite of mine, B.E. Lawrence. That's the byline, New York-based defense writer, performer and composer, prize-winning playwright, whose previous book has been lively, sweetly, constantly absorbing, and superbly crafted prose, Boston Herald. Okay, Silent Screams and Silent Victims are the first two books in her Lee Campbell thriller series, another Silent Kills comes out later this year. Wow, this woman just keeps working. And that woman, who you might know as Carol Bugay, also is on the line now. Welcome, C.E. Lawrence.
Carol? Hey, Nancy. Hi. Thanks. Thanks for having me on. Hi.
Loved it. Oh, gosh. Sorry, something's going on with my chat room, but I'll fix that while we're talking.
Okay.
So, this is great. You've got a third book coming out. Now, tell us about the first one.
The first one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the first book, which is Silent Screams, we meet Lee Campbell for the first time. He's a criminal profiler with the NYPD, and we also meet his sidekick, Detective Leonard Butts. And the name
I
is sort of
name.
Onomatopoeia just... for what he looks like, I guess. He's sort of,
yeah.
He's sort of... Yeah, and there's a love interest involved, and when we meet Lee, he has just come down from having had a nervous breakdown as a result.
And that's the start of the first novel.
That's the start, right, at the start of the first one, and that has to do with the fact that his sister was probably abducted. She's missing. She disappeared.
The girl in the red dress.
The girl, that's right. Oh, you remember those plot points better than I do. I'll tell you, as it goes along, you go, oh, did I do that yet? Oh, which book did I do it in? And then,
well,
like,
as a writer, I'm sure you're constantly thinking that. Did I say that already? What did I say?
Oh, you're so right about that. It's so true.
Sounds like a really good line, but did I write it already?
Right.
Because as
a writer,
you must write and rewrite so many times.
You're a writer yourself, and you're too humble to say so. But as a writer yourself, yeah, I'm sure you've had that.
Yes, you do, and you just wondered. Well, I found myself sometimes on stage, Carol, going, "Did I tell that joke already?" Especially if it's a long set. And Carol and I go back. We have a background. We performed with an improvisational troupe known as Funny Ladies.
Well, and which was part of the First Amendment, which was New York City's first, and I'm so proud to have been a part of it, first professional improvisational theater company.
And
Nancy was the first person I ever saw do improv. Nancy and Tom Carosa and you and two other, Pete Spellos. And,
he went on to be a bad guy in numerous films.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful actor. And you and Tom improvised a song, and I was blown away. And I remember it was a late night set, and I remember being blown away. And I was sitting in the audience, and I was going, oh my God, I'd never seen anything like it.
It is amazing. It's amazing that, and from your background, you've also now, I love the both books, and I have to be partial. I have to say that your latest one, Silent Victim,
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see this really developing, I gotta say. And I'm partial to the second one. Like the first one.
Thank
loved
you.
The second one was even better. And it's just like you could see the baby, now the second stage, now it's a teenager in your book.
Now
you
it's
know?
A teenager. Well, if it's a teenager, then we're lucky if it's better because you know how teenagers are.
If you're a fan of any of the cop shows like I am, I will watch a Law and Order marathon. I will not leave the house. And
know what you mean. Yeah,
This book was like that. I felt like I was watching a Law and Order. Wow, what happens next? Wait a minute. I didn't know that. Oh,
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Well, I'm a big fan of Law & Order. In fact, I at some of the writers' conferences, you know, you meet various people, and Lorenzo Carcaterra, I don't know if the name's familiar to you, but he's been at some of the thriller conferences that I've been. He was at Bookhampton, which is a conference out in the Hamptons in May.
Oh,
and so I had a chance to meet him.
You're going to be out there.
Oh,
yeah, I'm near there. I have a house near
really?
There.
Really? I did not know that.
I'm about 30 minutes away. Let me know when you're doing something.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And we'll talk when we get off the phone, but I'll help you with some press on that. And why would I do that for C.E. Lawrence? Because I love the book so much. That's why. This book, and you had so many twists and turns, and the way you make, I know you're a woman writing about a man, but the way that you make the guy so personable and that you could see his inner turmoil, which I don't think a lot of male writers, there are very few male writers do. There's one, Nathaniel Landy. He's a very good writer. I don't know if you know his work.
I
look him up. He's been on my show before. And Nathaniel Landy.
Landy, L-A-N-D-Y?
L-A-N-D-E. And if you look it up, L-A-N-D-E. It's on. It's in my archives. But he's written a book that it's like the next Forrest Gump. But he is the only other male writer that you get inside his head and his turmoil and his frailties.
Well, that's very interesting that you say that. I my editor told me to read, not see Shutter Island, but to read the book. She said it was important to read the book. And I did. And I have to say I was impressed with the fact that I thought Dennis Lehane very much did that. In the book, I mean, Teddy's inner life is very, very much part of the story. I don't know if you read the book or saw the movie, but the book itself, you can't really do that in the movie so much.
You can never.
But I was impressed. I was impressed that Lehane actually, in spite of the fact that he's thought of as a very sort of male thriller writer, there was a lot in that book about what Teddy's inner life was. So that was interesting.
But you just the pain that we tend to take for granted that men do deal with pain.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
that they do deal with inner turmoils and their man thoughts, other than, you know, men are from Mars. And but your book, clearly with that, and very seductive elements to it as well.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Seductive
Thank you.
Your characters, where you want to know more about them. There's just so much going on in the book. I read it in one day. My husband said, how did you read that one day? I said, I couldn't put it down. So my husband picked it up.
Bless
he's reading
your heart.
It now.
That is so, that is so nice. Thank you.
And he couldn't
I'll tell you, I am such a slow reader. I can't remember the last time I read a book in one day. And the more I write and the more I read, the slower I get because I'm always I'm always analyzing
it.
It's agony.
When it's like this, when it's a murder mystery thriller.
Yeah.
I have to finish it. And that was with this book. I had to know what was happening.
Because, that's wonderful. That's
and there
wonderful.
Were some kind of spiritual elements to it as well.
Uh-huh.
So what was your inspiration for this, to start this series?
To start this series? I've been very interested in crime for a while, and I found that, you know, I had written some murder mysteries, and I had written two Sherlock Holmes mysteries, which are basically, you know, straightforward murder mysteries. But I'd been getting more and more interested in pathopsychology and forensic psychology, and I noticed all the books in my library, you know, they were like, you know, forensics and forensic psychology, and I was like, So then I thought, and I got
person
very
to have dinner with if I ever go.
Yeah,
to
Yeah, right, right. And then I got very interested in serial killers, and I just really, you know, the true crime stories, I'm addicted to true crime stories. I really am. And, you know, it might have even started with the whole O.J. Simpson case where I just couldn't believe, I mean, the whole thing was so bizarre and so surreal. And then I wanted to start something darker and deeper. And, you know, I went through some things myself in my own life and had some experiences that were similar to Lee's in terms of being in therapy and having struggling with an episode of depression, and it was very interesting to me. When I came out of it, I was so happy that I had gone through it because I just felt that it had turned me into a different person, a better person actually. And then 9/11 came along, and that just there was so much there that I needed to deal with. I think that all of us in New York, you know, it was a huge thing. You know, and I wanted to deal. So I guess I wanted to have a protagonist who was dealing with some of the issues that I was dealing with. And
I'm looking in the chat room right now, and you've got some big fans of mysteries there. We've got, the famous publicist, Gail Parento, one of the best publicists in New York City.
Oh,
happens
wonderful.
To be tuning in your show. We've got Betty Jo Tucker from Movie Attic Headquarters, another radio show is listening to us, and Talking Progressive all the way from Crete, Greece.
Wow.
And a bunch of guests. So you're
that's
very
exciting.
Popular here today. And that's and you have a background in theater. Now, you've received numerous awards as well.
Yes. I've won some
You had a playwriting fellowship finalist?
Yes. I've won some awards for playwriting. A play of mine was won the Maxim Muzamdar Award and was produced up in Buffalo. It's a playwriting competition that they have every year, and I've had a few short stories win some competitions and been published. And I've had some poems, the same thing, you know, win some competitions.
Yes. Well,
and
you have an impressive background. You were a fellow at Hawthornden
Castle. Oh, Hawthornden Castle in Scotland. Oh, that was something. it was something, I'll tell you. It was a castle, a medieval castle, that then later became the retreat and home of the poet Lord Drummond, who was a Scottish poet. And in the 1980s, Drew Hines, who's the Hines heir, decided to turn into an arts colony. And so they take six writers at a time, and you're in the castle, and there is no internet, and there is and there is very little heat. I was there in January.
Oh boy!
And you go, and I would hike to the nearest town on the bike path every day, 2 miles to Bonnyrigg to go to the library, you know, at Bonnyrigg. And the Scots just don't believe in central heating. They just don't believe in being warm.
No.
So,
no, they don't.
But it was very exciting.
Also,
it was beautiful.
You were a writer in residence at Birdcliffe Arts Colony.
Right. Birdcliffe is actually the oldest arts colony in the country, even though McDowell claims they are. They're actually wrong. Birdcliffe is older by several years. And it was formed as part of the arts and craft movement, which was a whole kind of aesthetic at the turn of the century. And it's a bunch of cabins scattered around the woods, just up the mountain from – it's part of Woodstock. It's in Woodstock, but it's like up Guardian Mountain.
I want to get back to you.
Okay.
One of the chat rooms says, do you all know www.mysterywriters.org?
Yes, I am a member of the Mystery Writers of America, of Sisters in Crime, and of International Thriller Writers.
That's not in my little sheet here.
Oh. Well, I think for most people who are mystery writers, they belong to one or more of those organizations. So Mystery Writers of America, they're the ones who give the Edgars every year.
Oh.
And the International Thriller Writers is not a very old organization. It's only been around for about 5 years. It was started by Gail Linz and John Lutz and a couple of other people. And they have a big convention every year called Thriller Fest, which I go to, which is in July in New York City at the Grand Hyatt. So.
Oh, let me ask you more. Let's get back to the murder mysteries. Now, okay, so you thinking day and night, murder, 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 murder. How do you kill? Blood, blood, gore.
And
gore,
I am, Nancy.
Gore,
I am thinking day and night, murder.
How do you sleep at night? Do you sleep well?
Well, you know, it's funny. I have a friend who's a composer who dreams music, which I'm sad to say I never have. But, you know, I sleep very well. I mean, Benadryl, you know.
I just have visions of someone going to dinner at your house and it's murder, 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 all the books up there are murder.
Yeah, right.
What's for dinner? Steak.
Right. Yeah, well, I
like
think
my
that...
rare.
Well, I actually think that when you write about dark things, in some ways it frees you to not dream about them, because I think that we all, you know, have this side to us where our fears and our obsessions and our darker impulses as human beings is just part of who we are. It just is. And I think I really honestly think that writing is very freeing. It's a therapeutic process So when I can write about something, it allows me to control it in a way.
Okay, you're scaring me even more as a therapist. What are you trying to control, CE? Listen, Betty Jo Tucker from, yes, from Movie Attic Headquarters says, I really enjoy your guest today, Nancy. And Vicky, Vicky in Greece, are you writing a book too? I see Betty Jo's writing The Ruby Slippers Caper, a children's story.
Oh, what fun.
So
terrific.
Have you ever branched out in your murder mysteries into children's stories?
Do you know, I wrote a children's story called The Alligator in the Elevator, and my lovely agent has not sold it, but I do adore children's fiction, and I actually love to read YA, you know, just for fun. I think that some of our best writers, you know, are writing, and you know, our friend, now I'll give a plug to our friend Chris Grabenstein, who is writing very successful children's fiction.
Well, yes,
fiction.
And Chris, who I've yet to have on my show, but let's see. Greece, Talking Progressive says, me too, I love to write, but I don't know if I can write mysteries or crime. CE is teaching me a lot. Betty Jo says, alligator and elevator, yay. And we've got a caller on the
Thank
line
Thank you, Betty
right
Jo.
Now. So hang on, Carol. Here comes a caller.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
I'm waiting for them.
I love your books.
Hello,
there.
Who's this? Oh,
hi.
Hi, who's this?
Tula.
Who am I speaking with?
Tula.
The name
Tula?
Is Tula?
Yes.
Hi. Go ahead.
Hi.
You have a question for our guest?
I do. I read both books, and I love them, and I think
Thank
the
you.
Characters are so great. And I was just wondering if there's any one character that you identify with the most.
Well, that's a great question, and thank you so much for asking it. I really appreciate that. It's really a terrific question. I think that as a writer, if you're not able to identify with every character, they're going to come across a little flat and dull. So I think I'm going to scare Nancy even more by saying
oh, no,
this.
Great.
But I think I even identify with my serial killers, and at the point when I'm writing their scenes from their childhood, I identify with them very deeply, even though I had a very happy and lovely childhood. But I think the answer to that probably is that I do identify with my protagonist, Lee Campbell, because I've given him so many, a fair number of traits of my own, which is, you know, I also play the piano, I also live in the East Village, I also, struggled with depression. And so I think that, I'm very interested in forensic psychology, and so I think probably I identify with him the most.
Great. Thanks so much.
All right.
Thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Oh, and also the other thing is when I it was only up until my late teens where I finally gave up the idea that I was, in fact, a boy.
thought you were a boy?
I can't even tell you how badly I wanted
now
to be a boy.
Now, you have to see her. I perform with her on stage. She is not built like a boy. Let's just say she's got beautiful long, long hair, and she's got a great singing voice, and she's also a wonderful comedian. And before I forget, if you want to find out more about my guest, C.E. Lawrence, also known as Carol Bouvier, go to www, and that's C.E. Lawrence with no period. Is that, how do you do it?
Oh, yeah, this, right, exactly. The website has no period.
C.E. Lawrence. And there's no period in .com.
Yeah, just CELawrence.com, no period, right?
CELawrence.com. And who is this published by, and where can they get this book?
It's Kensington Publishing.
Oh,
a Pinnacle
I love
book.
Them.
Kensington, yeah. I have a great, great editor.
I just had another one of their people on recently.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear it. So it's Kensington Publishing, and there's all kinds of links on my website. It's in all the major bookstores, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and, of course, your local independent chain will hopefully have it. And you can also
go to your website to www.celawrence.com?
Pardon me?
Can they go directly to www.celawrence.com?
My website has links to everybody. There's a link you can click on to Amazon. There's a link at Barnes & Noble. There's IndieBound, Borders, and there's also a link to my publisher, which is Kensington. So, yeah, it's very easy to find.
It's very easy to find, yes, with that. And it's great, though, that you develop these characters. Now, this when is your next book coming out?
Well, it'll be out. They're kind of coming out regularly, a year apart. So the next one should be out.
Irish twins. No, kidding.
Yikes. The next one should be out in early December,
This coming December, this year, 11th?
Yes, yes, they're coming out one a year, yes.
Now, let me ask you this, Carol. Have you ever considered writing a script for Law & Order or submitting one? Or?
You know, I'd love to write for Law & Order. I would just love it. And I have never written a script, and I have never written a spec script. I have written some screenplays, but no, I've never actually written a teleplay. But no, I mean, I'd love to, sure. I actually met a writer last summer, a very nice young man who's out in L.A., and I met him at Birdcliff, and he and I have been in touch quite a bit. And he wrote, he actually wrote the Law & Order episode that starred Chris Sarandon. I don't know if you saw that one.
There's so many.
I know, it's so many great actors,
see,
you know,
I
come on.
I could see this as a movie. I could definitely see this as a movie.
Oh, from your mouth to God's ear. let's just hope someone's listening to you. Bless you.
Well, I don't know, Carol. I would send this. I would send this to the Vincent D'Onofrio. I can't say his name.
Vincent D'Onofrio. D'Onofrio.
I would send the book directly to him.
Oh, what a great idea. What an interesting actor he is, and what an interesting choice he would be, wouldn't he?
I would just send it, please. I'd like you to accept this copy, and I would start courting these people.
He's such an interesting
for a movie.
Actor. Well,
I just got to tell you right now, you win the most people in a chat room of any of my guests. I can't even count how many there are in there. There's so many
Now. Hi, everybody in the chat room, and thank you so, so, so much for coming. I really appreciate it.
But you just beat the record.
I
can't fit them all. I have to scroll down. That's how many there are in the chat room right now.
Oh, well, thank you. Hi, everyone.
Oh, she says hi, everyone. Well, they can hear you saying it. Talking Progressive in Greece said that's a great idea, but it's really a great book. I want to just, let me see here. Do you have the book with you right now?
I could get it in the other room. Which one? Do you mean Silent Victim?
Yes, Silent Victim. Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah, the new one. Yeah, I have a copy of it.
All right.
I have several copies of it, oddly enough.
Call her directly. Get those copies right away. All right.
Okay, I've got it.
Go to your back cover.
Yeah.
Where it says to catch a twisted killer, and read that for me.
Yep. At first, they look like suicides. Two bodies within a week. One found floating in New York's East River, another electrocuted in the bathtub. The forensics show that the victims were drugged, then killed. As the death toll grows, so does the brutality of the murders, and the killer continues to prey. Not P-R-A-Y, but P-R-E-Y.
P-R-E-Y, just so you know. See, I'm scared already. Just reading that part. And you've got a lot of great quotes, too. Pulse racing, first rate, a wild ride down a dark road, John Lutz.
Yeah, he's a wonderful. I feel very honored to have a quote from him.
Publishers Weekly said, a dark, intriguing thriller. Yeah, Catherine Ramsland said, Lawrence delivers finely honed suspense with unique twist. Wow.
And she's a terrific writer, too. I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she wrote a book. One of my very favorite nonfiction books is a book that she wrote with Greg McCrary, who's actually sort of become a friend of mine. He advised me on my books. He's an FBI profiler. He's one of the original guys, and just a wonderful guy. You may have seen him on TV from time to time. But they wrote a book about his experiences called The Unknown Darkness. And I got to say, it is one of the most gripping and interesting true crime accounts that I've ever read. It's just fantastic.
Well, it's great. And now, without giving anything away, is Silent Kill?
Silent Kills, yeah.
It's going to be the same character?
It is going to be the same team. We have our threesome we're going to have Lee and his boss Chuck and Butts. You know, Leonard Butts will still be around for sure, and the indomitable Krieger, if she survives the second book, may be with them.
Oh.
But there's going to be a steampunk theme. Since you're the mother of a teenager, I'll bet you know what steampunk is.
Steampunk?
Steampunk, yeah.
Steampunk?
Steampunk, right.
I don't know what that is.
Steampunk is a sort of a it's kind of cyberpunk meets goth. I mean, it's an aesthetic movement. It's a fiction movement, and it's basically Victorian era aesthetic, but it's like science fiction when everything takes place in the era of steam. And there's also steampunk bands and all this kind of thing. And so my killer in book three is a steampunker.
Okay.
So we have all this sort of Victorian era, you know, vampire wannabes running around.
Yikes. I'm telling you, you scare me every time. You scare me.
I hope so.
No,
I scare
my son's,
him.
Thank God, not into that look.
No, your son's not into steampunk.
More,
well, go
no,
home. You know, I'll bet your son knows
Michael,
what it is.
He's more of a J. Crew, Michael Kors kind of boy.
Oh.
He likes his clothes.
Oh, bless his
nothing
heart.
Nothing ripped, nothing torn.
Oh, that's so funny.
But he likes it. Yes. Also, I want to say a shout-out to Talking Progressive. You can listen to them on a Blog Talk Radio. And
terrific.
Also, she's got her websites up, and Betty Jo Tucker on Movie Attic Headquarters on Blog Talk Radio. And I have to get in. Stay on. We got four more minutes, so you think for a second, because I got to plug a show tonight. To a show tonight. Do you remember Rhonda Hansen?
Yes.
Well, she's back doing stand-up comedy tonight, and she'll be at the Metropolitan Room.
How wonderful.
And with Jim Mandrinos, and she'll be performing there. That's on.
Oh, I know Jim Mandrinos. I did a show with Jim Mandrinos. He's a fantastic pianist and composer.
And yes, and writer. And so if any I'm trying to get him on my show too. If any of you are in the New York City area, it'll be at a great room. I love to watch comedy there, the Metropolitan Room at 7 p.m., 34 West 22nd Street between 5th and 6th. Just Google the Metropolitan Room for more information. But he'll be performing there, and he's got a great lineup. Laurie Summers, Rhonda Hansen, Samantha DeRose, and let me see, am I missing somebody? It's produced by Tom Regu, who produces a lot of women's shows, great women's shows. Also, Ellen Karras and Laurie Summers, and how could I forget Jim's wife, Leanne Lord. So if you're in the New York City area,
the Metropolitan
Room, okay, we're down the Metropolitan Room tonight, 7 p.m. For reservations,
wonderful.
Call 212-206-0440. But I'm going to see my buddy, Rhonda Hansen. Okay,
excellent.
You got 3 minutes. Okay, you want to get this book, you can go to www.celawrence.com. She's got three books out. If you want to start at the beginning, get the first one. Okay, you go back to the beginning. So say the names of your books.
The first one is Silent Screams. I have to think. See? Screams is the first one. The sequel is Silent Victim. And the one that I just finished writing that will be out in next December is Silent. The working title at this point is Silent Kills.
Silent Kills so far. But the first one was Silent Screams, and the second was Silent Victims. And when you say Silent Screams, you know what that comes to mind? It's like a Hitchcock scene where the woman opens her mouth, and then it cuts to a train. Like, she opens her mouth and it
Hitchcock,
goes,
that's so funny. It cuts to a train whistle. That's so good.
It cuts
so
to
good.
A train, like Lady on a Train, and then it cuts
yes.
to that. And that's
oh,
what
that's
I
so
think
good.
It does. And when I hear that, when you Silent Screams. But I want to give it my 5-star rating. You can read my review of the books on Amazon.com, C.E. Lawrence, www.celawrence.com. Get this book. This is a great beach read, a great travel read, and you're really going to enjoy it. And anything you would like to add, except before I go, thank you, Betty Jo Tucker. Okay.
Thank you, Betty Jo Tucker.
And she says, yes, Hitchcock. Oh, Betty Jo, 90 seconds. Okay. Talking Progressive, you'll love this book too because I know there's warped in you somewhere. I've listened to your shows. I love your show, Talking Progressive. That's Vicky in Greece, by the way, all the way in Greece. And thank you all my other listeners and Gail Parento Guidance, the best PR person in New York City, and everyone for listening. Go out and get Silent Victim. You're not going to be able to put it down. If you like film noir, if you like Law and Order, this is the book for you.
Yeah, and if you start with Silent Victim, it won't. There are no spoilers in it, so it's not.
Actually, if you start with the book, it's not going to ruin anything for you. They're both good books. They stand alone.
Yeah.
Everybody's saying they're scared already. She's going to read it on Crete Beach.
Oh, I think that's so cute. That's so good. So yeah. Hey, listen, if I had a Crete Beach to read on, believe me, I would read it.
All right. Thank you. Our guest today has been Carol Bugay, also known as C.E. Lawrence. Her new book, Silent Victim. Get it. Get it and be afraid. Be very afraid.
Thank you.
But
Nancy.
It says on the cover, don't even breathe.
Don't even breathe. I know, isn't that scary?
Is that a reference to Silent Scream?
Yeah.
All
exactly.
Right. Thank you very much. And I'm going to play us out with, let me see here, if I could find them, Stephen King's band is here. Here you go. This is Stephen King singing and Amy Tan and a couple other famous singers, and I'm playing out on them.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Hit me on face.
Judge an apple by looking at the tree. You can't judge a honey looking at the bee.
Hey, Steve, you can't judge a daughter from looking at the mother.
You can't judge a book now looking at the cover.
Can't you see how you misjudge me?
Hey, no, you look like a farmer.
But I'm a lover.
I guess you can't judge a book by looking at the cover.
Read me. Oh, yes.
I can't judge sugar looking at cane.
I just try and judge a woman by looking at a man. You can't judge a sister by looking at a brother.
You can't. By looking at the cover, can't you see how you misjudge me? I may look like a farmer, baby,
but you're a lover.
Can't judge a book now looking at the cover.
By looking in the pond.
You can't judge it right by looking at the wrong.
Can't judge one looking at the other.
You can't judge a book now looking at the cover. Can't you see how you misjudge me?
Hey, you know, you look like a writer.
I'm a lover.
Can't judge a book now. Looking at the cover.
No way.
Ooh, where do you get your ideas?